Eddie. So this means to give sermon in the morning is quite easy, right? Because all of you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you would laugh at anything and everything. So this, and praise and thank God, because all NYTS I have gone to, second week is always my favorite. Why? Because when I look into all the brothers and sisters, all of you look like angels. Right? And it's quite a beautiful sight to behold. So this morning I'd like to share with you none of self and all to thee. Let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to verse 23. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to verse 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Verse 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to verse 23, our Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciple, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father in heaven. But in that day, the day of judgment, many people will come to him and say, have we not prophesied in his name, cast out demons in his name, and perform many wonders in your name? But our Lord Jesus Christ will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So here, if we look at verse 21 to verse 23, it's very clear that God's will can never be compromised. So who are these people that prophesy in the name of Jesus, cast out demons in the name of Jesus, and perform many wonders in the name of Jesus? Actually, these people are you and I. Of all the churches, no one uses the name of Jesus more than our church. Think about this. Everything we do in the name of Jesus. Before we lead him, we say in the name of Jesus. Before we lead Bible study in the name of Jesus. Before we eat, we always say in the name of Jesus too. But the big question is, are you and I doing the will of our Lord Jesus Christ? Here in chapter 7, one of his will is that you must enter by the narrow gate. Yes, you and I can go to the wide gate because it's much easier. But on the end, will lead to destruction. And another will of his that we must beware of false prophets. Because outwardly, you can look exactly like a sheep, but inwardly, you're just like wolves. But who do you want to follow? Because on the end days, many of us will be very confused. Why do our brother and sister speak the doctrines that is different than the origin doctrine of TJC? Even though outwardly they look just like sheep. But remember, his will is for us to recognize the false prophets. So for my class in the NYTS, we have 5 classes of the Holy Spirit. And we will go through the one of the classes discerning of the spirit of error and the spirit of God. And also it's God's will for us. When we hear his word, we must put it to practice. When we put it to practice, then we build our foundation upon the rock. But for those of us who want to take the easy way and do not want to practice the word of God and do the will of God, then we're just like building our foundation on the sand. And then on the end, when the wind blows, the rain descends, and the flood comes, then whatever you and I have built will be destroyed. So that's why for us, the judgment will start at the house of God. That means the judgment will be you and I. But the big question is, are we doing God's will? Really, nowadays, when I go to different churches, If we have 150 people for church, maybe on Friday night, maybe the most, maybe 40, 50 people. What happened to the rest of 100 brothers and sisters? In the Bible said for us, Sabbath is sundown on Saturday, from Friday to Saturday. Where's the rest of the brothers and sisters? And coming to Sabbath is something so basic. So basic. So that's why here, Jesus Christ really wants to speak to you and I. Yes, we can call him Lord, Lord, until we are blue in the face. Yes, we can pretend and speak out very loud that we are the true church of God. But we must do his will. Yes, even we prophesy in his name, cast out demons in his name, perform miracles and signs in his name. But are you and I doing his will? And that's why this morning I want to share with you one of his will that you and I must do. That is to put him first in our lives. It should be none of self and all to thee. If we say these questions to ourselves, do we live this kind of life? Do we put our Lord Jesus Christ first before anything in this world? Before our school, before our job, before the media, before our friends? If you don't do this, this means there's no way that you and I can enter the kingdom of heaven. Because God's standard is very high. God's standard is very high. Let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 10. The book of Mark, chapter 10. Mark, chapter 10. Verse 17. Mark, chapter 10, verse 17. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, kneeled before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So we can see this young man, he's not only he was young, but he also was a ruler. And not only was a ruler, but he also was rich. But even though he was rich and he was a ruler, he has no idea what can he do to enter eternal life. But I'm sure during the time he heard of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why, look at verse 17. Now as he was gone out on the road, one came running, kneeled before him. And many of us, we know the story of this young man. Actually, this young man is something that you and I should look up to. Because even though he's rich, even though he have high status in society because he was a ruler. But when he saw our Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing he did, he ran toward him. He ran toward him. Nowadays for you and I, when the time that we have worship, Friday or Saturday, do we have the kind of desire, I can't wait to go to church? You know, for me, because I know what our Lord Jesus Christ have done for me. Last Saturday when I was it was 2 days ago, when I was in a Dallas church, and I woke up, and for some reason, I couldn't wait to go to church. So, of course, our prayer started at 10:20. At 9 o'clock, I wanted to go to church already. And I say to my wife, "Come on, hurry up. Come on, we got to go to church." She's like, "It's so early. Why do you want to go to church?" And then I say, "Okay, we have two cars. You take your car, take my car." So I went there first. And when I went there, even though the church that we at right now is a rented church, but why do I have such desire? I want to go to church. So I want to see our brother and sister because this past Saturday, the council members make determination. They send out the email and say, "Look, let's all the council members make determination to be, you know, to go to pray on time." So for me, I really look forward to this, right? Because I haven't seen this for the last 2 years in Dallas Church. So I was really excited. So I want to go there. Of course, you know, it's hard to break an old habit, right? It's still late. But it's okay. At least some of them came on time. But why do I say to myself, why do I have this kind of desire? And the same thing, too, with my wife. Why, you know, she had this kind of desire, too. Because you know what?
we really love our Lord Jesus Christ and we feel that we truly love our brothers and sisters. Because for ministers, the only time that we feel joyful is when we see our brothers and sisters. And believe it or not, all the time that I've been in Christ and as a minister, the best time is during spiritual convocation. Why? Because that's the time I can spend all day with our brothers and sisters. And you can feel that kind of joy. So for you and I, do we run toward our Lord Jesus Christ? Or do we feel like, oh, Friday night, oh, Sabbath again, right? If the service starts at 8 o'clock and the hymn will lead over 10 minutes, then I'll go at 8:15, right? Right before the sermon starts. But actually, God knows this. God knows our heart. So that's why, for us, look at this young man. He had everything. Why did he run to our Lord Jesus Christ? Not only that, when he ran to the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing he did, he kneeled down before him. Really, try to picture this. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he was nothing during that time. He's the son of a carpenter. That's all he was. So for this young man to run toward him, there must be something in his heart that he knows about Lord Jesus Christ. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has no house, has no pillow to lay his head on. But why this young man willing to run toward him and kneel down before him? You know what that would be like to for other people to see him. But he doesn't care. He knows who our Lord Jesus Christ is. That's why he's willing to kneel down before him. Can you imagine nowadays, right, if the governor of California ran toward one of you and kneeled down before you, right, and call you what? Good teacher, right? Rabbi, how would you feel? I'm sure the governor would not do that to any one of us, right? Because we are nobody, right? Even though some of you can go to to Ivy League school, right, this and that. But I'm sure the governor is not going to do that, right? So that's why when you and I run toward our Lord Jesus Christ, why do we run toward him? Can we really put our humility before Jesus Christ and kneel down before him? But quite often, not only we do not run toward him, it's very difficult for us to put ourselves in front of him, to be humble by him. But one day, maybe some of you already, you're in the council, and you do a lot of holy work for our Lord Jesus Christ, always remember this. When you have argument during a meeting, when you raise your voice during a meeting, when you do something, when you're serving God, when you raise your voice and have argument, you have to remember that Jesus Christ is right in front of us. That's why in church, we always should humble ourselves before our Lord Jesus Christ and before our brothers and sisters. Just like this young man. One day, maybe some of you will be the CEO of a company. When you come to church, you walk with your chest sticking out, right? And during meeting, you sit very high, very tall. When you speak very loud. Because why? Because you have high standing in society. Maybe you're also a millionaire. But in front of Christ, you and I are nobody. That's why the seraphim, right, when they go before God, they have 6 wings. 2 of them cover their faces. So in our world, even though angels are so beautiful, but in the eyes of God, they are nobody. They have no identity. Because without your face, you have no idea who you are, right? But for us, if we are not humble quite often, when we serve God, we always put our face first. Not only toward our Lord Jesus Christ, also toward our brothers and sisters. So that's why, look at this young man. He ran to the Lord Jesus Christ. He kneeled down before him. Then he asked and he called him a good teacher. That means you are able to teach me something. Do you and I also feel like this when we come to church? Remember, church is not the physical building. Church is the place when those who have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ say, in the name of Jesus Christ, we commence his service. That is the church. So it doesn't matter who speaks on the pulpit and they speak the name of Jesus in true Jesus church, this means our Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of us. That's why we must humble our heart. Do we feel like, because sometimes when we come to service, we come just like, to evaluate if that person is a good speaker or not. But instead, really humble ourselves before God and ask, tell God, God, you are my teacher. You're the one that can teach me one new thing today. So that's why for me, I really don't believe that the reason our church is not growing because we are too Chinese, right? That's not the problem, believe me. I'm not Chinese, and I've been in church for the last 14, 15 years already. Why am I still here? Because many brothers and sisters who speak to me, they have touched my heart and built a foundation that I needed to grow in faith. So if you can, a person can speak English, but they just speak nonsense, what is that have, you know, what's that going to do with us? Even through translation for many years, they have listened to sermon. But through translation, it built my faith. Because you know what? I always look at our brother and sister as the anointed one, as the one that God used them to teach you and I. Every brother and sisters. Why? Because for those of us who receive the Holy Spirit, we are anointed by Jesus Christ to speak his word, to share his word with one another. So everyone could teach us. Can pertain to the things in life or in the Bible. But we must have a humble heart to realize that. And then look at the first question that he asked. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Remember, this young man, for sure he was a Jew. And as a Jew, they believe in the true and living God. And if they believe in the true and living God, they feel, they know that they can enter eternal life. But no, this young man knows better. And what does he say? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? This is the most important question that anyone could ask anybody. What kind of question nowadays that you and I ask our Lord Jesus Christ? What school am I going to go to? What kind of job am I going to have? And what kind of spouse am I going to have when I, you know, when I'm settled down? Of course, all those questions, there's nothing wrong with them. But the most important question, do you ever ask yourself, Lord, what shall I do? Yes, we are born in church, we are baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit, but that's not enough. That's only the beginning of our journey to the heavenly kingdom. We must ask our Lord Jesus Christ, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the word is that, what shall I do? That is, we need to seek God's will. So our Lord Jesus Christ said to him, verse 18, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. So why our Lord Jesus Christ asked him such a question? Because he said to our Lord Jesus Christ, good teacher. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, no one is good except for God. In other words, our Lord Jesus Christ tell him that, look, if you call me good teachers and no one is good except for God, then you must know, if you call me good teacher, you must know that I am God. And if you know that I am God, then you must do exactly what I tell you to do, because that is God's will. So the same thing for us. I'm sure every one of us know that Jesus Christ is a true and living God. But are we willing to put everything behind our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willing to put Jesus first in our lives? That is the question. Why do so many of us do not go to Sabbath? Why don't we read the Bible? Why don't we pray? Because we are not willing to put God first in our lives. There's no other answer to that. Because if the person is the first thing in your life, you will do everything to communicate with them. You do everything to see them. You would do everything to make them feel happy. We mean to do their will. So that's why here, Jesus Christ said, look, why do you call me good? No one is good except for God. Because, and then if you call me good, you must know I am God. If that is the case, then verse 19, you know the commandment, do not commit adultery. Do not murder, not steal, do not be a false witness. Do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And look at this young man, verse 20. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Can you imagine this? This young man, he must be a righteous young man because all these things he have kept from his youth. Because when our Lord Jesus Christ said, follow the commandment, he said, no problem. Since I was a youth, I have followed all these commandments. But our Lord Jesus Christ said to him, you lack one thing. You lack one thing. And what is that one thing? Verse 21. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lacked, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. Here, when our Lord Jesus Christ looked at him, and the Bible said, our Lord Jesus Christ loved him. So remember, brother and sister, love is not equal to salvation. If our Lord Jesus Christ loves us, it doesn't mean that you and I can love him back. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ can love us, but for us, maybe we don't love our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot put him first in our lives. So that's why here, our Lord Jesus Christ says, one thing you lack, go and sell all that you have, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then you give all those to the poor, and then you follow me. Of course, it's not an easy thing. If you look at the commandment that Jesus Christ asked him to follow, this is the last six commandments. And what happened to the first four commandments? Because the first four commandments is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, to love God totally. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ didn't mention. So that's why here we can see that the treasure is in heaven, right? So the same thing for you and I. Are we willing? Are we willing? Yes, we can go to many seminars. We can go to many Sabbath services. But our lives, are we willing to put everything, after our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willing to do that? If we're not willing to do that, then just like this young man. Because verse 22 says, but he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Actually, for this young man, we are sure that it's difficult because he had so much money. And this money became his God. How about you and I nowadays? Do we put video games before our Lord Jesus Christ? Do we put our friends before our Lord Jesus Christ? Do we put our school before Lord Jesus Christ? Do we put our career before Lord Jesus Christ? Do we put our family before Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you and I are not willing to put our Lord Jesus Christ before all of these things, even though our Lord Jesus Christ loves us, but we cannot enter the heavenly kingdom. So that's why, brothers and sisters, let's reflect upon ourselves, really. Is there anything worthy in this world that we want to put before our Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you, no. Not even my own wife. Not even my own family. Why? Because I know the closer I am to our Lord Jesus Christ, the more I truly love my wife and my family. And the more that I truly can love my Lord is the more that I can bring peace and joy upon my family. So that's why. If you want to have a good career, if you want to go to the great school, if you want to have a great family, the secret is to put God first in your life. And not only that you will bring joy to yourself and your family, but also you can enter the kingdom of heaven. So do not just call our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, Lord. Yes, maybe some of us can prophesy his name, cast out demons' name, perform miracles and signs in his name. But are we willing to do his will? And his will this morning is that we must put him first in our life. If not, you and I will go away sorrowfully, and then we cannot inherit eternal life. Now let's come up and pray together, and we ask God to give us that strength to put him first in our life. Let's come up and pray together.